Well, hello everybody, and welcome back to another episode of We Watch Shudder. My name is Michelle, and who's here with me?
Echemos abajo la estación del tren. Echemos abajo la estación del tren. You see, you would know what that was all about if you had watched the credits for this movie, Michelle. Hi, it's JD.
Wow. Okay, so it's JD.
I was planning to do
it's
that.
It's JD and Michelle.
I was planning to do that the whole time, even before you told me you didn't watch the credits to the movie. So I just threw that bit in there to shame you for not watching the credits.
Yeah, I went, hey, it's music, and now it's a black screen with just some text.
It's
time
music.
To turn the movie
Are you
off.
Out of your mind? It's super rad 1960s Peruvian proto-punk surf rock from a band apparently called Los Psychos, and it's called Demolición.
I only listen to Weird Al Yankovic and nothing else.
I was bumping to that song that rolled. Anyway, it's been stuck in my head literally since the minute I finished the film, and so it's just, I was like, I'm going to throw a clip of it in at the end of our episode, too. It's going to be pretty sweet. Anyway,
well,
Michelle,
I'm
what are
you
we
got
here to talk about?
Really good out of this movie. That's good to know.
Wow, that's foreboding. Did you just say I'm glad you got something really good out of this movie? I'm curious to see what that's trying to say.
It's not foreboding. That's how I feel about all movies. Like, yay, I'm glad that you got a really good thing. Like, I just watched the Mean Girls remake. I have a lot of thoughts, but damn, that soundtrack's really good. The song
right,
about how you can be sexy on Halloween is great.
Maybe I'm just reading too much here, but what I heard was, well, I'm glad you got something good out of this.
Yeah, it's because you're a negative person.
Wow. Okay, well, what are we watching, Michelle? What are we...
Well,
guys, first of all... wait, Michelle, you're running the show today. You do this. My throat's all scratchy, guys, and I'm on Sudafed and stuff, and I'm not feeling so great. Please, Michelle, save me.
It's also 1 in the morning, and I think I napped, but you did not. So, today, we watch the new Shudder release of Satanic Hispanics. It is from 2022. It has been released other places, but it's new to us. And it's a movie, and we watched it. Because we watch movies from Shudder. We watch Shudder. So that's...
Yeah, Satanic Hispanics anthology film. Featuring 5 different Hispanic directors, some names that I did know, a couple names I did not know, we've talked about anthologies before. Michelle tends to be a little bit more of a fan of anthologies in general than I am, but this is the first one we've watched in a while, and honestly, I'm pretty excited about it. Or I was excited to see the film because, again, you got Demian Rugna in this, who has, especially When Evil Lurks last year was so great. You got Gigi Sal Guerrero involved here, Eduardo Sanchez, who was one of the Blair Witch guys. And then Mike Mendez and what's his name, Anthony. Do you have the names there, Michelle?
Alejandro Rugna.
Yeah, see, this is why I asked Michelle to say this name, because then I didn't have to stumble over it in front of everybody's ears. Ha ha ha, Michelle. Sorry, it's the Sudafed talking. Anyway, I've been waiting for this one for a while, and I was really thrilled to find out it was dropping. Have you been hotly anticipating this one, Michelle?
I absolutely have, JD. I like movies.
Are you mocking me, Michelle?
No, I'm just being enthusiastic at 1 in the morning, so it's a little bit forced.
That you're,
I'm
yes,
a little
you're,
tired.
Yeah, it's a late one, guys. That's my fault. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's called acting.
Sweet. So that's what we're talking about today. Side note, if this is the first time you're tuning in, I'm sorry. this is, I was about to say this is not how we usually are, and then it dawned on me, no, this is how we usually are.
Yeah, usually there's a therapy portion and an apology portion and a
we
slightly
don't have time
hostile
for therapy
portion.
Tonight.
I feel like we started in the therapy portion with whatever your lyrics were, because I did not understand
them for
all I knew.
No, that's the rad Peruvian surf rock song from the credits of this movie.
Yeah, but I didn't translate it yet, so all I heard was, I'm
No,
a sad person, and it's
no,
1 a.m., and I'm
echemos
tired.
abajo la estación del tren. It means let's tear down the train station.
That's funny because the only word I recognized was train, and I assumed that I misunderstood.
Let me try this
Let's
again. It was
tear
a
down
little
the
bit.
train station.
Echemos abajo la estación del tren.
I've been doing Duolingo for 3 years now, and I'm so disappointed that I don't recognize that aside from train,
And then
because I know things like,
they.
where is the train? When is the train coming? How do I get to the train station?
And then, well, anyway, that song is going to be stuck in my head for, that song is going to rock me for a while, the same way that, that 5678 song from Kill Bill Volume 1 was just everywhere for a while. You remember that one? Where there's not really any words, it's just like, woo, 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 woo,
Yeah,
you know, from
okay.
the House of Blue Leaves. Oh,
Yeah, I didn't
man.
know if it was that one or the one that goes wee woo. That
Why do
song.
I even try, Michelle? Why do I even
Well,
try?
we should try getting back on track and telling these
Yeah,
people what the plot
absolutely.
of the movie is from IMDb, because the one on Shudder tells you too much.
The one on Shudder tells you too much? That's a bummer.
It's a paragraph.
You know who else
it's
tells you
always
too much? Fucking bloody disgusting. Throwing out goddamn high detail spoiler images of shit that happens. And I've been from the movie Imaginary, and I've been like going all over the place, just losing my shit about it. And people keep saying to me, dude, those images are in the trailer. That makes it not a spoiler. The fuck it does? Some of us deliberately don't watch trailers. Shame on you, bloody disgusting. Shame on you. Anyway, sorry, I had to add a
By
little
tweeting
tirade.
Angrily at Bloody Disgusting, I then got spoiled when I got the responses. So thanks, JD. Thanks. Because then I got linked to the tweet and I went, oh, JD.
Oh, well, maybe I didn't consider that part, but I didn't do it on
I know.
purpose,
Bloody
at least.
Disgusting didn't either. See?
Yeah.
You're on the same level.
Oh, fuck you.
Satanic.
Your hair is red.
Yeah, I know. I re-dyed it today. Thank
I don't
you
even,
for noticing.
I don't even know why that was like supposed to. What is that? Some kind of a fucking dig? No, yeah, it's anyway.
It's the Sudafed.
Satanic Hispanics. What does IMDb say?
IMDb says, when police break into a house in El Paso, they find it filled with dead Latinos and a lone survivor known as El Viajero, the traveler. He is taken to the police station for questioning. Satanic Hispanics. I would like to give a disclaimer that I am terrible at pronunciating anything
oh, me too.
In
the
Spanish.
The word is pronouncing,
so I'm
first of
so,
all.
So, I know. But I am so sorry. I know how to read it. I cannot say it to save my life. So I'm so sorry in advance. Yeah.
Well, that's okay. I think, Michelle, I think people will forgive you.
I just hate it because names are really important to me. And yet I can't pronounce some of these. I'm sorry.
What's
I'm
the?
I'm really trying.
Okay, I was about to get off on another tangent about Duolingo, but let's not do that. Yeah. You want to give us your spoiler-free thoughts on Satanic Hispanics, Michelle?
Yeah, I do. Okay, Satanic Hispanics. It has been on my list for a long time. So long, in fact, that I forgot what it was about. I just knew it was something that I was looking forward to. And I was really excited when I saw that it was dropping on Shudder. Since I did not remember anything, I did not remember seeing that this was an anthology. And I think for the first time in my life, it was possibly the only moment that I've been disappointed to learn that something I'm watching is an anthology. I
Oh, wow.
love anthologies. I was so into that first segment, Tambien La Vie. And then it's no surprise that I learned that that is the guy who did When Evil Lurks, because it's the same
yes,
flavor.
Demian
it's
Rugna.
So good. Yes. So I was really, really into that one. And then it cuts to a comedy, which is very comedy and very good. It's not even a bad segment. It just took me out of the moment so quickly. And then the second one was a serious one again, and then it went back to comedy, and it was just such a weird pacing. That said, everything individually I enjoyed. I didn't dislike any of them. It's just overall, as a whole, these didn't seem to fit together very well. I would have preferred if this was all serious shorts. I think it would have come together in a much better way, even if the main overarching story is kind of comedic at points and has like a big dramatic finish that's just meant to be bloody and fun. I think maintaining the serious up until that moment may have been a better route to go. The comedic bits are some of my favorites, and yet overall I felt very taken out of what was going on. So overall, we're not going to rate this based on how I feel about the individual stories, because I think that's separate in an anthology. As an overall whole experience, I'm going to go with a 3.5. I think it's worth seeing because I do enjoy the shorts. It just felt very clunky in the way that they're put together. So 3.5.
Oh, is this where I speak now?
It is your turn. Yes.
Okay. No, I so interestingly enough, and I don't know if this is just like a thing that's gonna happen going forward, but I completely agree. I
Oh,
guess
that
the only
never
thing
happens.
I slightly disagree on is I don't even necessarily need this to have been all serious. I just would have preferred it be all one tone, right?
I
Either
agree.
all
Yes.
serious or all comedic, because the more serious stuff is, especially that first loan story by Demian Rugna, Tom Bienlovi, is real rough. Like it's pretty aggressive stuff. And then they follow it up with El Vampiro, which is so goofy. Just the degree of the tonal shift was so disorienting. And then it happens two more times. They go from serious to funny to serious to funny. And then the wraparound story starts out kind of funny in ways, but then builds to something more serious. And yeah, it's I appreciate the ambition, I think, of what they were trying to do here, but yeah, it just kind of tonally was jarring. And I, funnily enough, was going to come down on a 3.5 as well.
Whoa.
There are bits of this that I really love, and I'm looking forward to talking about those here in just a moment. But yeah, 3.5.
I am curious, once we get into the spoiler section, to figure out, because I have some guesses that your favorite was probably a comedic segment, and that's why you said you wouldn't have minded if it went comedic. And my favorite was a serious segment, so that's why I leaned on the side of like being all serious. So I think that's going to influence, and I'm excited to talk about the shorts. Should we get into the spoiler full, the spoiler heavy
Yeah,
section of
if
this?
you don't want spoilers, this is where you want to stop listening until you're able to see the movie and then come back and hear what we got to say. Michelle, because this is one of those anthologies that comes with a frame story, do you want to try and do a overall plot synopsis for Satanic Hispanics?
Yeah, let's do it.
Have at it. Please do.
Okay. So, a bunch of police people, they break into a place, and there's a bunch of people who are of various Latino heritage, and they are there, and one guy, he keeps trying to kill the police even though he's dead, and then that happens for a while, and then he's shooting them and they're shooting him back, but he's already dead, so then he keeps shooting them, and that's fun. And then two detectives, they come across a guy, and he's shoot or he's cutting his hands off. And then they're like, "Hey, stop that!" And then they're like, "Unhand that knife!" And he's like, "Ha ha! I've unhanded everything, including my hand." And then they arrest him, and they take him to the station, and they're like, "We have some questions. Question number one: Are you Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite?" And he's like, Yes, but my name is Efren Ramirez, and I have other work that I've done aside from Napoleon Dynamite. Please recognize me as more than just that character. And then they're like, but I voted for you. And he's like, that's fair. I was an iconic part of pop culture for a while. But here I am, and I'm going to tell you some stories. So he tells them some stories. And the first one, Tambi and Lovi, there's a guy, and he can kind of make supernatural things happen with a flashlight. He says it's an algorithm. He also likes his Rubik's Cube a lot, and he's gonna go travel the world and beat other people's records with that. But oh no, he broke his hand. Not he broke his hand, like the crazy thing under his desk broke his hand when he fell, and now his fingers are fucked, so no Rubik's Cube for him. And then it turns out that the thing that's there is the other guy's dead mom. He makes it go away, it explodes, but then he's the dead thing. That's all fun, and I had a lot of questions. And then we get back to the police station. He's like, just kidding, I have another story for you. And so then we get El Vampiro, and that is the guy. He's a, you guessed it, vampire. And he and his El Vampires, they are vampires, and it's Halloween, and he's too far away. He forgot about daylight savings time, so now he has to get back, but not after causing some hijinks and shenanigans. But then his lady, she gets in a car, and she finds him, and then they hide in a dumpster, and they're like, we'll be here, and this is a very funny circumstance. Just kidding, it's no longer funny, it's sad, we're gonna die. And then they die in the dumpster, because the sun gets in there. And then the next one, how you pronounce the JD? I was practicing and I still did not get it right. Nahuales. Okay.
Nahuales.
I have admittedly forgot why the things happened to this man, but there's a lady and she's a Nahual. Nahual? Is that singular? Nahual? Of
Nahuale.
Yeah, but she, oh, so singular would be Nahuale. Okay. So yes. Nahuale, she's doing bad things to a guy, and he's like, hey, I don't like this. And she's like, too bad. I'm doing it for a reason that Michelle has forgotten about, because she watched this a couple hours ago and then took a nap. So we'll circle back to the reason. I just remember being like, this is hardcore. And
wow.
Cool.
Maybe Nahuala, we'll because it's female. Nahuala, maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I know there's,
now you got me thinking about 25-year-old high school North Dakota Spanish classes. Jesus.
I know. This is why I'm bad at pronunciating. And then we cut back to Pedro. Just kidding. His name is the Traveler, aka Efren Ramirez, and he's in the police station, and he's like, one more story, y'all. And then he does the Hammer of Zanzibar, and it's the guy from Mystery Science Theater 3000. Unlike Efren Ramirez, I have forgotten that guy's name. Jonah, potentially. And then he,
Jonah Ray Rodriguez.
See, I remember things sometimes. And so then he's talking to a lady friend, and they're like, whoa, remember that movie, I Know What You Did Last Summer? This is that, but with demons in Cuba. And they're like, oh man, Cuba. And he has to defeat the demons, and the way he does it is he finds a gigantic dick. There's a whole thing of how the dick came about, but the dick is called the Hammer of Zanzibar, and he's like, I'm a hammer you, lady. And then he just beats her with a gigantic dick. It's pretty great. And then we cut back to the police station. Oh man, the Satan guy, he's there now, and he wants Efren Ramirez all to himself. And so he's walking through a station, and he's making this cop kill the other cop, and then he's making these two cops kill each other simultaneously. It's a really nice, like, tantric situation, so that's good for them. And then Efren Ramirez escapes, and he's in a car, and he gets pulled over by another fucking cop, a cab, am I right? And the cop's like, why were you speeding? And he's like, because if I don't, you're all gonna die. And then that's the end. And then there's this song that JD is obsessed with that plays during the credits. The end.
Yeah.
Hispanics.
Los Psychos. Demolición.
Yeah. I hate that I forgot what happens in Nahuales. I remember the imagery so much, but immediately after watching this, I had to go take a nap because you said we weren't recording till one, and I have forgotten what the actual plot is. It was something about that guy getting out of there, and then the lady gets him, and she's like yanking his arms off. It's all very cool, but I have forgotten the underlying tone of why. So we'll have to talk about that more in detail. And
Satanic.
You'll remind me, and then I'll feel like shit. So
that's cool. I actually have a similar experience with that short. How do you want to do this? Should we go through just segment by segment and talk about how we felt about it?
Yeah. I think that works really well when we do these anthology style, because yeah. trying to talk about it overall, since we both agree that the tone is very strange, I think we have to go segment by segment.
So let's talk about the individual segments first, and then we'll talk about the overarching story and the big finish and all of that. How's that sound?
Okay. Yeah, sounds perfect.
So very first, individual story, Demian Rugna's, Tommy and Lovie, I'm just going to tell you flat out, Michelle, you are absolutely incorrect. This is far and away my favorite segment in this. And I enjoyed, you know, most of the, there's one in particular that didn't really work for me. First of all, this is something that we talk about when you and I talk about anthologies quite frequently. This one, far and away, is the one where I sat there and I was like, God damn it, I want that as a feature. I want more of that story. Like, he starts out with just, he's just doing this weird gyrating shit with his cell phone flashlight interlaced with pushing buttons, turning off the hall light and turning them back on. And you just watch, and there's just that very, and you also see him do the Rubik's Cubes and stuff. And there's that very simple moment where he just says, oh, it's an algorithm involving the light. I figured it out. It changes every time. You just got to do it as it happens. And that concept alone, I went down a thought bubble rabbit hole where I was just thinking things like, oh, so like, what if, like, okay, so if reality is some sort of simulation in a giant alien computer, then maybe, like, ancient magic and shit is people just using weird algorithmic things in space to manipulate, basically hacking the simulation through weird algorithmic interactions. Anyway, I love those ideas. I thought this was beautifully photographed. The way they layer in all the patterns and elements of structure with like the windows, and even when he goes to the door to answer it and he opens up the peephole, it's the crosshatch cover over that. Just layers and layers of visual elements here. When that dude's hand gets fucked up, you know how I am with shit that involves hands. Fuck, man. And when the fucking, when the goddamn thing just suddenly staring up at him from under the, here's how good, so you remember when we got Deadstream and then shortly after we got, To Hell and Back as part of VHS 99, from, Joseph and Vanessa Winter. This to me, like from When Evil Lurks and then following it up with this, now I get it, this was made previously, but the way I experienced it, like, this is that same level. This shit is, like, When Evil Lurks and this short are so goddamn good that I need to go back and watch Terrifier again, because, or Terrified. Excuse me. Because I'm starting to feel like I may have just fucking missed the boat on that movie, because this guy is fantastic, and I love this. Okay, that was the big rant that I wanted to go on for this whole episode. So tell me, what was this also your favorite?
Well, I'm gonna get into it, JD, right now. Yes, it was. I've been trying to do a much better job, because we're doing this show, but also I keep a movie log now so that I stop rewatching things because I consume too much content and I forget I just watched this last month. So I have like a spreadsheet, of course, and each time I finish a movie, I put it on the log, and then I have to write at least like a quick summary. It doesn't have to be great. I can be like, that was fun but shitty. Like, it's for me. It's not important. But I realize that every time I'm putting my notes in there, I'm like, oh, I enjoyed this, like, and comparing it to another piece of work. And I've tried to stop doing that and tried to focus on, okay, how can I describe this on its own without constantly comparing it to something? So when I was watching Tammy and Lovie, I was like, oh man, this is great, but I'm gonna do the thing that I've realized I do all the time, which is, wow, this reminds me a lot of Terrified, which is one of my favorite things that we have ever reviewed for the show. I had already loved that movie before we did our recording of it and watching it, and so I was like, man, this feels so much like Terrified, and wow, I'm gonna have to compare it. It feels so much like that. And then I learned afterwards that that is the guy who did Terrified. So I've seen three things from this man, Damien Rugna, and I can't get enough. He's got a lot of things on his IMDb page, and I think I just need to go down that rabbit hole. I am just fascinated by these environments that he creates. This is a third completely different world, and I really want to see more. I think that's why it took me so far out of it. I was fine going back to the police station being like, oh, okay, this is an anthology. God, I hope we get more like that. I was ready to be spooked, and then I never got spooked. I think they just put the bar too high starting off with that one. So yeah, loved it. I loved
Agreed.
it so much. It is my favorite one by far. And I want to see everything he has done now. There's not a ton. There's 11 things on his list that I haven't seen, and I guess I gotta get going. I gotta see them all. I catch them all.
Yeah.
Pokemon.
Yeah, this was really I see where you're coming from with reminiscence of Terrified, especially with the corpse thing. Under the table was very reminiscent of the monster from Terrified.
And when he runs outside the house because the house is the problem, reminded me a lot of Terrified. And then he's seeing spooky things from what feels like the safety of the street. But it's not the safety. Oh, yeah.
I just so wonderfully executed, excellent play with the light. There was something you said in in your summary there, and I want to know if you were just being cheeky or if you maybe missed a detail here. But you said when the dude comes back, like the demon or ghost hunter or whatever guy comes back and starts talking about his mom. Are you under the impression that that thing under the table was actually supposed to be his mom?
Oh, no. I
Okay,
don't
yeah,
think
you were
that
just,
at all. Yeah.
yeah, you were, okay,
Yeah,
because
he
I
was
was
being
like,
tricked.
right, that's the whole thing, is apparently it looks like whatever it wants you to see.
Yeah.
But no, I just had to double
But then
check
de
because.
yeah, then the lead guy, he can see through it because he can see things. So yeah, I knew that's why he was like, "Oh no, that should go away now." And he's like, "Ugh, light thing, go away." And then explosion. Jeez.
I
I also
think.
love that that is the guy from When Evil Lurks, by the way. So the fact that I didn't make the connection of like this feels like Terrified and it stars the guy from When Evil Lurks, like I feel like a dummy, but so obvious now.
Yeah, it's just a fantastic. Like I said, I would. I want to send him a tweet after we're done here and be like, "Hey, please make a feature of this. This is way too good of a story concept to be left as a short." I was just so taken by that whole thing. It's so good.
And luckily, we can tweet him. I don't know if he has Twitter. We'll find
We
out.
sure can.
I mean,
So
we
that
can
brings us
text
then
him.
to
Cool.
the second of the four individual segments, which was El Vampiro, directed by Eduardo Sanchez, one of the folks responsible for the legendary Blair Witch Project. What did you think of El Vampiro, Michelle?
I thought it was very funny. It just took me too long to get on board that train because I did not know we were
Exactly.
making the switch.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was
Because I'm
my
like, oh, we're gonna
exact
have,
experience.
yeah, I was like, we're gonna have hints of comedy like we do with the overall story. And then I went like, this is a lot of comedy. And I couldn't tell, like, is this a badly made horror that puts way too much comedy in it, or is it a comedy horror? I could not tell for a little bit because we had just made such a drastic switch between the two. Once I got, I went like, "Oh, is this supposed to be funny?" Then it was funny. I really like a gag that just repeats and stops at the right amount of time before it gets to be too much, and that you're under my control or you're under my—I forgot which word he uses—but that
My
whole part where he's
thrall.
like, "Thank you, thrall." Yes, I was giggling at like, "Oh, I haven't heard it said that way," but you're under my thrall, and he can only control one person at a time. He's just bashing between the two cops over and over again. It was the perfect amount of pacing, and by that point I had figured out like, okay, we can laugh at this. So yeah, I enjoyed it. I would like to see it isolated instead of in this whole big film because I think I would like it a lot more if I wasn't spending a couple minutes with the whiplash that we experienced.
Yeah, absolutely. That was my, weirdly enough, my exact reaction is like, I was initially very off put by the change in tone to this just silly. And once I got far enough into it and I got my bearings, I enjoyed it. And I think I need to put some space between it and myself and then come back and just watch that segment on its own. Like, I even find myself wondering if maybe they had just rearranged the order of these segments, if it mm-hmm. would have worked better. Because it's just those like, if we had gone from this to Hammer Zanzibar to Nahuales and then to Tommy and Lovi, because like I said, you do have the overarching story that starts out a little bit funnier and then gets into serious. I think anyway, it was good. It just took me a while to get into.
Yep. Yeah, I completely agree that swapping might have worked, but I also didn't propose swapping too hard because I just want a full thing of Tambi and Lovi.
Absolutely.
I just want that to be a full
thing. For sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So then the third standalone segment is Nahuales by Gigi Sol Guerrero, a.k.a. That dentist lady from the Crest commercials.
Oh, yeah, that's what we know her by. What's really funny is that the one thing I could remember about Satanic Hispanics was, oh, yeah, the Gigi Sol Guerrero film. I didn't remember it was an anthology. I just remembered, oh, yeah, Gigi Sol Guerrero made that is what I thought going into this. I was like, oh, damn, the serious horror in the first one is so good. So I think it's a little bit funny, although a little bit shameful, that her segment is the one that I remember the imagery really heavy from, but not the dialogue to tell me what was going on. I might have been very tired and not paying as close of attention as I should have been, whereas the others were a little bit more obvious for me. It wasn't bad. I feel like I didn't give it enough credit. And I think part of it is, again, the whiplash. I spent a bit trying to go back to serious now after El Vampiro, which was very comedic. And I think I was too much in my head to catch the dialogue happening at the beginning about how he's trying to get extracted from this place and talking to the guy on the phone who has to like clear him and he's some sort of politician. Like, I think I was too busy trying to get back into my zone while also reading to like take it all in. So unfortunately, that was the one that I just don't remember a lot about it aside from like, oh man, I remember it being spooky.
Well, Michelle, I may be able to alleviate some of your concern there.
Yes, please.
Because I, in fact, did not take a two-hour nap after watching the film. Yep. I finished the film just shortly before we started recording, as I typically do. And interestingly enough, even having paid pretty good attention to that segment, this is the one I came away from saying, I'm pretty sure I liked that, but this one I also need to watch at least one more time, because there are some subtleties. It's very esoteric in its dialogue and the way it tells its story. It's this very sort of bombastic, theatrical kind of language, and folklorish. It does have those folk horror visual elements and story elements that are a big thing for me. Gigi Sol Guerrero did that the segment from VHS 85 where there's that crazy disaster. Anyway, I don't want to spoil it. It's a great segment. But no, I'm pretty sure I really liked this, but I need to go watch it again. Because much like you, I am not at all certain exactly what was going on.
Yeah, it's funny that you mention VHS 85. And see, this is why I'm trying to do a better job of not comparing work to other work, especially if it's something they did already, because it's just so hard for me and I'm trying to break out of it. But VHS 85, their segment where we'll just say there's an earthquake at the news station, then some stuff happens. That was one that when we did our episode about it, I said, like, this is one that was my least favorite. I couldn't really tell you why. I just didn't get into it. And then I rewatched VHS 85 right away a second time because I enjoyed it so much as an overall thing, that I enjoyed it a lot more the second time. I think it was just up against some of the stuff that was so strong that, again, the like timing of it, I was like, oh man, it's taking me a little bit to get into this new one, and I'm not quite there like w in the moment. So being able to watch it a second time as like just its own individual thing, definitely benefited. So I think you're right. I also, right before we started recording, we were looking up like how do we pronounce this? We just want to try to be as accurate as possible. And then unfortunately for me, like a lot of Spanish words are like, some people can't say aluminum at all or linoleum. And that's how it is for me. Like my brain doesn't remember how to pronounce something unless I'm saying it repeatedly. So Nogales, we had Googled and I didn't know it was some sort of a protector or guardian. So it's a brand new concept to me, and I'm very interested in watching this again with that knowledge that I gained from the Googles.
Both of these. So this is Nahuales, and her segment from VHS 85, if memory serves, is called Mictlantecuhtli, which is the Aztec god of death. And she's very much doing this thing where it's Hispanic Latino folk horror. But it's very much drawing from these Olmec and Aztec sort of native traditions that frankly I at least have not seen a lot of representation of in horror movies and things. And what I love about that is it's just there's some fucking rad like monsters and concepts here that we've just never encountered before. It's very, it's both of these films have been educational, like you said, because there's all these things that like clearly this is not like there's it just has that feeling that this is steeped in real folklore and not something that was just made up for this movie. And so you immediately start Googling and it's fascinating stuff. I really appreciate that element here, especially just because I think folk horror is one of the most fun and interesting ways to also learn about the world. It's pretty great.
It's funny because of folklore, folk horror, all of the ancient things. When we talk about like anything that happened in the US, even like the Salem witch trials, I'm like, eh, whatever, I heard about, I don't care. But like I remember being so enthralled by the Aztec and Mayan like segments that we did in school where I was so into it, I could tell you everything. I read so much. I was fascinated by that. So anything involving like Central and South America, I'm like, yeah, give me the folklore. And but like you do it in the US, I'm like, yeah, whatever, fucking Americans. So I think she
Well,
immediately like she hits a
what I
note
want
that
to
I like.
see, what I want to see is more, Native American folk horror, right? Like, I mean, I think
Oh
everybody at this
yeah.
point is familiar with like the
Wendigo.
Wendigo, but
Ooh, the Wendigo creeps me out. Ooh,
there's
yeah.
so much beyond the Wendigo. Like there are so many great stories that could be told there, and I look forward to that happening. I really appreciate Gigi Sol Guerrero and what she's do. Like she clearly has, I don't want to say she has an agenda with her work because that has such connotations. But even though the stories themselves are not necessarily directly about it, she's trying very hard to bring more of that perspective and style and such to horror, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, she's being educational with her horror. She's like, I
Yes,
know things you
yes.
don't, and let me bring that to
She's
the forefront. And
teaching the
I have to go,
world about her
yeah,
culture
I
through the
love it.
unifying power of horror.
Yeah. You mentioned Native American horror, and just as a side thing that maybe nobody else cares, but I fucking love owls. They're one of my favorite birds. We've been having a lot of bird discussions lately, ever since the hummingbird
Birds
thing.
aren't
I just
real.
It's coming out. I know if it flies, it spies. But it's coming out like how much I fucking love birds. I really do. And owls are one of my favorite. And one of my Native American friends had explained to me quite a while ago, how owls are a bad omen in his culture. And ever since, I'm just like, man, I love that bird, but that bird symbolizes death. And like that's kind of hardcore. And just a little side thing. There was an owl outside my window for a while and it was
If
hooting. And I was like, this is one of the best moments of my life. It's also one of the most terrifying moments of my life because I had his knowledge. So like bring me that knowledge of things from your culture because I like a little added spookiness to my everyday thing because I don't see owls the same anymore. I'm like, oh man, that thing got big eyes and it's got plans, bad plans.
Look, as long as we're already neck deep in a tangent about owls,
Yeah.
two quick questions. Have you ever
Uh-huh.
seen any pictures of owls with like all of their leg feathers pulled up so you can actually see
Yes.
their legs? Oh
Yes,
my
I have.
God. Hilarious. Adorable. Looks like
Yes.
foghorn leghorn, but an owl. Here's the other
I know you
question,
don't
Michelle.
expect that to be under there, but it's all
No.
under there. They got
But
legs for days.
and right, well, and once you see it, you're actually like, okay, yeah, that actually makes sense. But no, you don't expect it. It's
No.
so weird. But
You
the other
expect
one,
them to just waddle like a penguin. You know, they're penguin shaped, but they're not penguin shaped.
right. There was a video that went viral a while back now. I'm not sure, maybe even 10 years ago at this point, but it's a time lapse video. This guy had like a thing up in a tree with some meat on it, and then there's also a camera, and so it's a time lapse video of this giant owl like swooping straight at the camera to grab this meat and fly away. Have you seen this?
I haven't, and I'm already on YouTube, and I will watch it once
Oh
we're done
my
recording.
God! Just yeah, I bet you if you just YouTube owl time lapse. It's, oh my God, it's one of the most terrifying goddamn things I've ever seen in my life.
Ooh,
Anyway,
that's exciting. I fucking love owls.
while Michelle is Googling owl videos, we got one more solo segment here. The Hammer of Zanzibar,
Hammer of Zanzibar.
directed by Alejandro Brugues. I'm so sorry, I don't know how to pronounce that name. But starring Jonah Ray Rodriguez, who you may remember from that movie that didn't really do it for me recently. What was that one that he was in? Kill All Your
The
Neighbors or whatever. Destroy All
yes, I was like, I
Neighbors.
can picture it, but I can't
Yeah.
remember the name. Yeah, destroy all your neighbors.
Yeah, so that's look, I'm just gonna be straight with you. This is the one that didn't really work for me at all. It's not my sense of humor. I was just like, oh, it's funny because he beat the demons to death with a giant wooden dick. You know, it's or a giant demon dick, fossilized demon dick. I just like that's okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I just there was this one. Just missed the only moment of the whole thing that I did find actually a little bit enjoyable and clever is right at the very end where it switches back around and he's actually while he thought he was taking on demons, he was brutalizing this entire restaurant full of people that he convinced himself weren't real. I thought it was a good lock-in moment right at the end. But just overall though, you know, those just this drawn out monologue with all these, you know, just ham-fisted like sophomoric kind of like double entendres about, you know, gay sex, and it wasn't for me.
The beginning of that segment, again, trying to figure out is this going to be serious or not? And he's showing the photo and being like, "Look, this is the god of fire, and he was lit on fire." And this is the I was like, "Oh, all of this feels like kind of a stretch, and I'm not fully there," and agreeing with you. But then when they do get to to the flashback and he goes to meet the store owner and gets the Hammer of Zanzibar. I actually found that all very funny, where it's like this guy's in a romantic relationship with the demon and he's like, I left an offering of flowers, and then the demon stopped calling me back and I realized the demon was with everybody else, where it turns out like demon's just super slutty. I don't know, for me that really worked. But I think, again, took me a little bit to get on board. I thought all of that segment was like super funny, but I also have frat boy energy and an immature sense of humor, so I am who I am.
I mean, I like a dick and fart joke as much as the next guy. I just, you know, I have particular flavors of dick and fart jokes that I like, and this one.
I have particular flavors of dick. You heard it here, folks.
I have particular flavors of farts, too. That's.
Yeah, but that I can't splice out. I guess I have particular flavor of dick and farts. Just a particular flavor of dick. Just really does something in my brain. I need that on a t-shirt. We're going to have some fucking t-shirts to make.
Michelle would very much like me to specifically say right now, particular flavors of dick that I enjoy. There, I said it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Isolate it when he runs for president so that it ruins his campaign.
First of all, no, I am not. I'm not convinced that anybody will ever run for president ever again after this election, but we'll talk about that some other time.
Yeah. Well,
now
anyway. I'm sad.
Look, you're the one who brought up elections, Alejandro. Michelle.
I brought up erections first, okay?
That's, the well, yeah, you're, we definitely did. The Hammer of we Zanzibar. Did. So, anyway, then...
Nothing much to say about this one. Yeah.
Nah. I'm sorry, I didn't even give you a chance to really talk about it. I just kind of blew by it. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I really don't have anything to say about it, aside from I thought it was kind of funny. There's not a lot more. It was also... It ending on this after what I thought were three very strong segments up to that point. It should have been a middle piece. It really should have.
Let me ask you this. Even though you did enjoy the humor of it and you're obviously higher on this one than I am, would you still say this was probably your least favorite of the four individual stories?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool. So we're on the same page for this whole frickin' thing. That's so weird,
weird,
Michelle.
It never
we
happens.
Gotta stop doing this.
We're syncing up.
The
like our periods.
Oh
them
God,
up.
Stop it! Stop it! you're gonna make me start feeling the menopause. Anyway, the frame story for this one. This is an anthology that has a frame story. It comes in two parts. The first part is called The Traveler, where we meet the Traveler and he starts telling his stories. Apparently he's like a 500 and some odd year old native, you know, indigenous Mexican who or maybe South American. I don't even remember specifically. Ultimately, he's like, I've been all over this part. You know, I've been everything. I've been Mexican. I've been Peruvian. I've been Bolivian, all this stuff. I did have a brief moment of vote for Pedro, but I got over it real quick. I thought he was real solid in this. You put fucking Greg Grunberg on the screen reading the phone book, and I'm on board. Greg Grunberg for president of everything. I love me some Greg Grunberg, and I thought he was fantastic here. I liked it. I thought there were moments where it got a little silly. Some of them I enjoyed and some of them I didn't really get. One of my favorite moments in this entire movie is in that opening sequence where you're not sure what's going to happen, right? Like it starts out kind of dark. First of all, I'm pretty sure that when they're doing all the close-ups on the corpses at the beginning, I'm pretty sure at least a couple of them are the people who direct. I know Gigi Sal Guerrero for sure is one of them. But I think some of the others were in there as well. Excuse me, guys. My cough, my throat is just, it's a disaster.
My throat is a disaster with my flavor of dicks that I enjoy.
Oh, my God. This is what I, anyway. So you see the guy in the chair, and then all of a sudden his arm comes up, and you see that it comes up in a real herky-jerky kind of way, but you don't even know for sure quite yet what's going on, and they just blast the fuck out of this guy, right? And then they show you the chain, and they show his arm coming up again, but they don't, the cops don't see it. And then they do it the third time, rule of three for comedy, and I fucking burst out laughing. I was like, such a beautiful dig at, like, white cop fear and the way they just blast the fuck out of anything. Like, it's just an absurd, like, they've got machine guns and they go off on this guy. He just gets fucking chewed up like the dude in RoboCop. It's fucking, it was funny. I really liked that. I love the practical effects design of Sala Muerte at the end, both when it's in the Undertaker WWE hat and coat with the weird stone face, and then especially when they fucking blast all the cover off of it, and it's that classic practical effects, like, reminiscent of like the thing from Creepshow, the creeper, whatever. All it's so fucking good and bloody as shit. He just starts making all those cops blast each other. It's just like, it got real violent all of a sudden, and it was pretty intense. And then I did think the ending was kind of anticlimactic. Like, he gets the gun, he gets the bullet, he shoots the guy, it's over. I would have liked maybe a little bit more there. But overall, I thought, as frame stories go, I thought it was pretty solid. It was a real interesting way to pull everything together.
Yeah. You like Greg Grunberg, who has a very funny name. That's just fun to say. Greg Grunberg.
Oh, yeah. You got to say it all at once.
Sonia Eddy, his other detective, is a great
supporting
actress. Slash was, because unfortunately I looked at her IMDb page and she has since passed away, and that is upsetting. She's one that you see her in things and you're like, hey, it's that lady. And I had just watched her yesterday in Dix the Musical, and I'm so sad that that is the last thing on her IMDb page when it should be Satanic Hispanics, because this was great. And instead she's Sonia the old lady from Dix the Musical as her final thing. Oh, she has one upcoming, never mind. Anima. Okay, cool. But yeah, she was great. She was fantastic. Both detectives paired with Efren Ramirez are, it's a good dynamic. I don't have a lot more to add, because everything that you hit on was, those were also kind of my favorite parts as well. I love the arm thing at the beginning. Like you said, rule of threes, very slapstick, very silly. And then he's cutting his fucking hand off, and I'm like, oh
yeah,
man, is this actually gonna be serious? Like,
yeah, there are,
what is going on?
I did briefly try to take some notes while I was watching this, but then Demian Rugna fucked me up so much with his segment that I was just like riveted to the screen and forgot to take notes. But the very first note I did write down came when they first walk into the interrogation room, and I said, that's an awfully light bandage for a guy who just fucking hacked his hand in half. And then, of course, they play that out as the thing goes on, and I thought that was really cleverly done. But, yeah, double whammy on the hand trauma in this movie. Like, this dude, he just takes a meat cleaver to his own hand, and then, dude, I had to rewind and figure, apparently the idea is he fucked up and mangled his hand when he fell backwards in the chair, but at first I was like, fuck, did I miss something? How did his hand just suddenly get all mangled?
I had to go back too, because I also missed it, and then you go back and you're like, oh, he's crawling away, he's holding his hand, but his screams are of fear, and they don't change to, like, this is fear plus pain. So it's easy to miss it. And then afterwards, yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, they completely tell you it's his hand. But I think apparently hand trauma is linked to a specific scream that I did not hear. And that's what was missing for me. I'm like, that's not the sound of a man whose fingers are fucked. That's the sound of a man who sees a dead thing under his table. Hand trauma. Nice.
Yeah, and then just one other thing that I do want to point out is I really appreciated how there are certain visual motifs repeated throughout this, even like you see the window, that weird stained glass pane window the first one from Tambien Lo Vi. You see not the exact window, but a very similar window in one of them later on. In Nahuales, there's that rainbow pattern wrap around the shaman lady's staff that again represents that sort of rainbow of color that we see with the light panels and or the window panes in that. They clearly sat down together at one point and they were like, okay, these are the ideas we have. It feels like this was built to be an anthology and not just somebody who was like, I'm going to just take these four stories and just find a way to cobble them together. Like, it feels like it was made with, like, unified purpose, and I really appreciated that.
I agree.
So that's, and then, of course, it goes into the credits, and it's like, Echemos about la historia del tren. Echemos about. I don't even remember the words anymore, but yeah. Anyway,
we're gonna tear apart.
I didn't care for the Jonah Ray song that plays during the Hammer of Zanzibar. That song about beating things with the Hammer of Zanzibar was written and performed by Jonah Ray Rodriguez, who also stars in the short.
And it was great. It's my kind of humor. I can't help
That's certainly one way of looking at things, Michelle. Ah, so what else do we have to say about this silliness, huh?
I got nothing else to say except, goddamn, give me a full Tambien Lo Vi.
Yeah. Yeah. Son of, what a fabulous story concept. I just immediately was like, I want more of this. I want to know. Mm-hmm. I want to delve into this algorithmic sorcery fucking lore. I love that whole concept. So good.
Yeah. Anyway, give me more.
Coming up next week, Michelle, what's coming up next week? Are you prepared to answer the question today?
I am prepared to answer the question. We are doing Pieces from 1982. It has been requested. It has been on my watch list for a while, and it drops on Shudder on the 11th. So
you've never seen this, have you?
I have not. I'm so excited. Oh,
I'm so excited.
I know a little bit about it. It's been on my list for a while. I planned on watching it in March regardless because I knew it was dropping on Shudder. So I'm stoked. I'm stoked to watch it. I'm stoked to do an episode. Knowing my luck, I'm going to be so disappointed and be like, why was I hyped for that? But hopefully not. I'm very excited for it. So
yeah. Pieces, yeah. 1982. You know what else is going on? You guys know that coming up in April 19th, I believe, Shudder is finally releasing Late Night with the Devil, starring David Dastmalchian, who's fucking rad. But we just found out that it's playing at a theater here in Fargo during its limited theatrical release. And we're going to go see that fucker in a theater in like 2 weeks. And I'm so fucking stoked, Michelle. How stoked are you?
I am fairly stoked. I would say I am fairly stoked.
Yeah, we've been talking about this one for a while. So many, Stephen King is a huge fan of it. If you've seen the trailer, and I don't typically care to watch trailers, but
I have not watched the trailer.
I saw this one. I don't even remember why I decided to watch it, but thankfully it doesn't feel like it gave too much away in any way. But I am so fucking excited for this movie. I haven't been to a theater in a long time. This is gonna be anyway. It debuts in theaters March 22nd. So check listings around you. Go see this one in a theater if you can. Support theatrical horror releases so we can get more of those.
Yeah. We might have to drop that episode early because I have a feeling we're both going to have stuff to say, and we did not know that it would be out a month early in theaters
We may
for us.
recreate the Skinamarink experience where we talk about it theatrically and then talk about it again streamingly.
That's actually a potential idea that I had not considered. Yeah, definitely.
Do you know what
And then
else
it'll
we
be
did,
like the skin
Michelle?
and brink and out the what?
Oh, I'm sorry, I interrupted. I'm having
No, it's
scatter
okay.
thoughts. Please finish your thought.
Oh, I was just gonna say we're gonna recreate it in the Skinamarink way where I can't stop talking about it for a fucking year. And knowing my luck, it's gonna be like Skinamarink in that it's highly anticipated, and then I spend the next 2 years of my life defending it constantly. So it's gonna be the Skinamarink and Outwaters of my life where I'm like, no, you guys, it's okay. You just it should have been an experience, not a movie. They screwed it over with the marketing by saying how scary it was. It should have shown at an art gallery and people would have appreciated it a lot more. Please don't do that to me. Please let me just enjoy a thing that other people enjoy because that's so rare that I have the same opinion as other people. I usually like the bad things, and please let this just be good and let me enjoy it as a good thing. Please don't make me defend it. I'm so scared now. I'm not gonna be able to sleep tonight, even though it's
We
2 in the morning. I'm gonna be so scared.
did end up doing ultimately, if you look at it the right way, three episodes of the podcast about that movie.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
we
too
did
many.
one for the theatrical release, and then when it was dropped on streaming, we talked about it again and the short Heck that it was based on. And then we did a deeper dive into Heck itself when we did short films in Spooktober last year. We talked about that movie a lot.
Now we're doing it again, but I refuse. I refuse to
No,
get
well,
into the skin and make train skin and brink trap.
I have a way to. I actually was steering it towards the Heck episode in Spooktober because I don't want to spill the beans or anything,
I
but I do
love
want
beans. Oh,
to. I
so
do.
good.
What kind of beans are your favorite kind of beans?
Oh, my favorite kind? Baked. I like a good barbecue baked, but I've been craving refried beans, and especially because we dropped Satanic Hispanics, I have some enchiladas in the fridge right now, so I might get that
Michelle, I
tomorrow.
don't
I
know.
had some
I'm
black bean
not.
quinoa today.
That feels like maybe it's not the thing you should have said when we're talking about. I don't know. Maybe I'm having a I don't. Was that a.
You asked me what kind of beans I like, and I went, "Hey, I happen to have enchiladas in the fridge." And we just watched Satanic Hispanics. No, you guys, I fucking love refried beans, and I have been craving them today. You asked me about beans. I wouldn't have just been like, "Hey, this movie reminds me of refried beans."
Michelle, you know
It
how I
just
panic
is
at
a
the
funny
littlest of
circumstance.
things.
I do know that. I do.
Oh,
But no,
anyway,
I'm actually starving for some beans of any kind.
my so before we got off on this bean tangent, and I completely lost the ability to form words for a moment, I was going to say just a small announcement that Spooktober will be returning for a third year in a row, and we have a plan. And holy shit, is it a pretty good plan? Would you not agree, Michelle?
I hope it's bean themed, where each episode we can tell you what type of bean you should enjoy with it.
I
Some
mean,
pork
we
and
could
beans
start.
with some saltine chips.
We could
Delicious.
do that.
Saltine, salted. Yeah.
Okay,
Well, for a
Michelle,
while, we were
start.
telling people what they should eat alongside with the movies. Like, I can't remember which movie, but I said that it should have some fava beans and a nice Chianti. And then it's because I had been watching it, and when I watched it, or I was eating a burrito at the time, and when I finished the burrito, the movie was no longer good. And so that was a movie you had to accompany with a burrito. We did this for a while.
I remember
Yeah.
that review. I don't remember what movie we were talking about, but I do
I don't
remember
either.
you saying that the movie was good while you were eating the burrito. And then
Exactly.
once the
And then it got
burrito was
bad. So I think we
gone,
could
you
just do
didn't care
that.
for
We just.
it.
We both like food. I think we need to start telling people. Satanic Hispanics is mostly enjoyed with a nice light Caesar salad. I feel like you need something to get your nutrition up, get a little bit of protein with that chicken in there, get a nice little crouton. It'll put you in the mood to watch a man mangle the fuck out of his hand.
You are under my thrall. Say goodnight,
I, yeah.
Michelle.
Good night, Michelle.
For more horror content, visit WeWatchShudder.com, where you'll find our world-famous, patent-pending Ghoul blog and Squelch files, as well as a schedule of upcoming episodes. Find us on social media at WeWatchShudder on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and I guess Twitter if you're still doing that for whatever reason. You can email us. mail@WeWatchShudder.com is the address. mail@WeWatchShudder.com. You can even call and leave us a voicemail, 701-566-9510. No, really. 701-566-9510. Give it a shot. See what happens. We Watch Shudder is a production of Rat Factory Media. Echemos abajo la estación de tren, echemos abajo la estación de tren, echemos abajo la estación de tren, demoler, 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 echemos abajo la estación de tren, demoler, demoler la estación de tren, demoler, demoler la estación de tren. Ta 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 ya ya ya. Oh,